You're welcome back. European leaders are meeting in Paris as they scramble to formulate a response to Donald Trump's initiative on Ukraine. At the same time, Russia's foreign minister is heading to Saudi Arabia for talks with the US Secretary of State. European countries, most notably Ukraine itself, have been left looking on from the sidelines while President Trump attempts to carve out a ceasefire deal with Russia. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly is in Paris and he joins us now on the line. Tony, who's at this meeting today and what will they want to achieve?
Well, Rachel, this meeting was called by President Emmanuel Macron on Sunday, and attending will be, I suppose, the main European powers, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Poland, the United Kingdom. Sir Keir Starmer will be here as well, the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, and the President of the European Council, Antonio Costa. He's the one who represents 27 EU leaders. And Mark Rutte as well, the NATO Secretary General, will be here as well. Now, what this meeting is all about really is to signal to the Trump administration that if Europe has to show willing to be at the table of and be part of these negotiations, then it will have to spell out what kind of military and security presence that Europe can bring to the table in a post-war situation in Ukraine. So in other words, how Europe itself will be able to pay for and contribute to a new security architecture in Europe. And people are talking about the post-World War II order now coming to an end with this Trump administration, and Europe is scrambling to ensure that it can shape the post-Ukraine war security architecture as far as possible. So we may hear pledges of troop contributions to a peacekeeping force that might be required, will probably be required in the event of any ceasefire or peace settlement. And then more generally, how the European Union and other European powers and NATO itself will essentially backfill any US disengagement from its footprint in Europe, which of course has been boosted significantly since Russia invaded Ukraine in 2022.
How much agreement is there on the way forward?
Well, certainly Europe has been discussing and processing the fact that the Russian invasion of Ukraine changed everything in 2022. So since then, even since 2014, when Russia seized Crimea, European member states, NATO members have been increasing defence spending. There is a broad recognition that the status quo is no longer fit for purpose, especially since Donald Trump is signalling that he wants to withdraw American commitments in Eastern Europe and in Europe in general. And because the Russian threat is now seen as existential for Europe, certainly for the Baltic member states and those on the eastern flank. So for all of those factors, Europe has been doing its bit to try and boost its defences and fill the vacuum that is going to be expected. You know, once Donald Trump disengages, there's going to be a white paper from the European Commission on defence in March. There is a sense that the European defence industry needs to have certainty from member states, from NATO members, on what kind of weapons can be produced at scale, so that if they're produced at scale, then they're cheaper. You know, rather than having 16 helicopters, you have one helicopter that's interoperable right across Europe. So all of those things are being discussed. I suppose that the hard question for leaders here, and even those leaders who are not here, will be, are they prepared to put their own troops in harm's way as part of any post-war agreement that will require peacekeepers in Ukraine?
Keir Starmer said this morning that Britain would be willing to provide peacekeepers. Have any other leaders said something similar?
We've certainly had comments from the German government in Berlin. They've said they would not be found wanting if peacekeepers were required. The Swedish government have signalled that as well. The French government are signalling that they would be able to provide peacekeepers. The Polish government has said they will not provide peacekeepers, but they would be contributing other forms of military support to Ukraine. Poland actually has now one of the most powerful armies in Europe. It has increased its defence spending to close to 5% of GDP. And that's, in fact, the target that Donald Trump is now talking about. But this is a conversation that is happening very quickly. And it's a reflection, I guess, of how speedily things have been evolving since that phone call last week.
Just finally, Tony, is it in any way clear how Ireland is likely to fit into this picture?
Well, Ireland is one of four neutral countries in the European Union. So Ireland's position on EU defence is clear. Ireland has contributed and participates in a range of EU and NATO-led peacekeeping missions. So it would be open to the government to consider a request if there is a pan-European peacekeeping force sometime in the future in Ukraine. I think those are quite some time off.
Tony, thank you very much. That was our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, who's in Paris.